Green light. Am I on?
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So good to be in Campbell River. You know what? This place needs to be a little less beautiful. Seriously, do you ever get tired of what you look at?
No.
I hope not, because if you do, you just need to spend a good half a year in Killarney, Manitoba. Because all you see is canola. Forever. I'm not kidding. I'm going to do a camp there in July, late July, and I'm like, well, the cannoli's nice. Man, like to see a hill. I'm so excited to be here today because I love these two and their family. Blair and Angela have been so good to me and good to our family, and they're full of life and faith, and being around them always makes me a better human being, and I'm so grateful. It's a long way to lose friends, amen, from Ontario to here. But here's the deal. I'm actually moving to British Columbia. Which is amazing and horrible all at the same time, if that makes sense. Because I have to say goodbye to some 25 years of ministry, and we're going to be moving to Maple Ridge in July. And my wife is really a big deal, so... She's going to pastor CLA's entire kids and family ministries, and I'm going to help pastor their Maple Ridge campus. So anyway, it's going to be a huge move for us. We have four kids. One's in university. We're leaving him behind. It's the only person in my household that has more testosterone than the most, because we have three girls as well. And so I'm leaving my boy because he has a couple years of university, so that's going to hurt. And I'm leaving the area I spent my life in ministry. I don't know. It's funny what God asks from us, and it's amazing if we say yes, amen. And you know, it's this morning I'm going to talk to you about the offers that Jesus makes. And sometimes He makes us an offer, and I don't know about you, but I feel like we have trust issues sometimes with God. You know why? Because we have trust issues with each other. Anybody ever gotten a bad offer? Like people sold you on something and said, this is the best thing ever. Maybe you got one of those Dr. Ho things for your back and stuff. And you got electrocuted or something. Sorry. Are there any used car salesmen in the house this morning? Some of you are incredible human beings, and some of you are not. Here's the deal. The world is always selling us, amen? Like every commercial. Actually, I've been getting a kick lately. Some car companies actually suggest that if you buy their car and drive it down the right road, you'll have joy. That's a cheap definition of joy. Did you know that joy is a fruit? It's not an emotion. It's actually a product of decisions. And the number one decision is when you actually accept the offer of Jesus, do what He says to do, and you discover that there is a joy being found in the exact center of His will that nothing, no purchase, no activity, no moment can give you. Joy is a product, people. It is not an emotion. But the problem with the fact that we're surrounded by so many offers on our planet, like it's just crazy, we're inundated, that a lot of times they come up and they're not quite what they're sold to be. Can anybody relate to that? Disappointment gives us trust issues, and I don't know, maybe you're at the point where somebody's actually trying to give you something really great, and you're like, no, I've already got some stuff in my hand, so I don't want to let go what's in my hand to get what somebody else would give me. And a lot of times we treat Jesus like this. So Jesus comes with an offer of life. And He says these crazy idealistic scriptures. I don't know, stuff like, I've come to give you life and that to the full. Well, that sounds great. And why am I so bored? Why is it just church Sunday to Sunday? Why does my faith not really make sense for my hands and feet? Why does my voice never do anything extraordinary? Why is it so long between extraordinary moments with Jesus? If I'm supposed to have life and life to the full, what is missing? Well, that's a good question. It might be that Jesus is actually offering you more than you know or imagine, and you just have a hard time saying yes to it because you have trust issues. And I understand trust issues. I come from a broken home. I understand trust issues. I have a dad who walked out of me when I was 6 years old because he was sleeping with somebody else's wife. I understand trust issues, but I also know this, that I also serve a God of healing and grace can help me overcome my trust issues. And if I'm brave enough, I might just do something crazy, like move my entire family across the country in the next summer because God asked me to do it. And I'm scared to death of it, but I actually know if I don't do it, I'm scared of what I'll lose if I don't. Amen? You know, it's kind of fun. I'm facing this huge move. I can actually preach on obedience because I'm actually being obedient. Mark, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. I'm like, well, actually, I could refuse it. We've refused Jesus all the time. We do it daily. We do it monthly. We do it yearly. We say we don't because that requires honesty. But we do it in reality because we're broken and we're afraid sometimes. You know what courage is? Courage is doing it anyway, even if you're afraid. Amen? Amen? Jesus comes with like ridiculous offers. There's nothing more frustrating though, I think, when he comes to us and he said, I already have this in my hand. I have my home, I have my career, I have my position, I have my friends, I have my church, I have it right here in my hand. And Jesus is like, well, I'd like to actually kind of open your hand and put something even better in it. Well, Jesus, I have trust issues. And I really feel cozy because I'm a Canadian and I think Canadian and kingdom are exactly the same. You hang on to what you have because it's safe and comfy and nice. I want you to know that safety is not a kingdom value and neither is comfort. Oh, but it's a Canadian one. But God wants to use your life to bring redemption and grace to so many other places. And it might be for you to actually feel life and that to the full. You got to be willing to let go of what's in your hand to take what Jesus will put there. Okay, we're going to read a story. Jesus makes an offer to a guy. You've heard this story, many of you. But we're going to read it in Luke chapter 18. I think it's going to be on the screen. Verse 18. It's of a nameless guy who has position and money. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Hey, this is fun, Dad. When your kids ask you a question, answer them with a question. This is awesome. It's actually horrible, but I like to do it to my children. Hey, Dad, can we go for ice cream? I don't know. Can we go for ice cream? What do you mean? I don't know. What do you think I mean? Dad, you're being annoying. Why do you think I'm being annoying? Because you keep asking us questions. Why do you have a hard time with that? I want you to do this at lunch today. I want to start 100 fights and 100 marriages. Just don't. Just don't. Just don't. Good teacher. What must I do to inherit life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I've kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack. There's some words when Jesus says, that kind of cause a shudder, don't they? You still lack. Ow! I think that was the word for him. You still lack. I don't measure up. One thing. Sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus said, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Whew! This is a tough, tough story for an affluent culture. Did you know that if your household makes over $49,000 annually, you are in the top 2% of wealth in the world? Yikes. This is a tough passage, but it's actually not about money. It's not so much about money. Let me ask you a question. How many think there's something incredibly attractive about Jesus? Like, you know, the words he says, the character he lives with, what he did for us. Hey, anybody happy that he saved you from death and hell? Yes. Praise God. That's so attractive to me that your mercy would be new this morning and I could take advantage of it. That is attractive. So there's this guy, and he's doing life, and he's actually a pretty decent guy. I actually think the guy we read about would be a great board member. I mean, think about it. He doesn't have a bad reputation. He's a great reputation. He's got position. He's got wealth. He's got power. He's probably got some business savvy. He's trusted with authority. I mean, what kind of guy wouldn't you want to be on your team? This would be a great guy on my lead team. This would be fantastic. But there's something about Jesus that causes reaction. I know this, that if you bring up the name of God, people have a mild reaction. If you bring up the name of Jesus, they have a stronger reaction. Have you noticed out there, people? That's how it works. Jesus causes a reaction because he makes people anxious. I actually believe there are less atheists than they present because of intellectual reasons. I actually believe most people are atheists because to own that there is a God, you have to own the responsibility of coming with that owning. But here's a man, and he's not an atheist. He's actually a pretty good dude. And Jesus comes to town, and it might not even be the first time, but something draws this man to Jesus. He's attracted to Jesus. There's something about it. But I want to suggest to you that it's actually not just an attraction. There's an anxiety that comes with it. So he sees Jesus, and there's this, and he has this position of power and wealth, but Jesus makes him uncomfortable. Why? How do I know? Easy. He asks him a question. What must I do to get to heaven? Now, he's apparently Jewish. He knows the law. So he's already got significant spiritual background, and he actually has probably been living in a way that thinks he's going to get to heaven, but something about Jesus makes him feel that he might not get there. I have questions. And you make me have questions. I don't know about you, but sometimes we avoid the presence of Jesus because sometimes we have to ask some questions. And sometimes Jesus makes us do some evaluations. But this guy's like, okay, this man makes me nervous. This man makes me nervous. This makes me nervous. But I just got to know. I can't just go on living this way. I have to know. I have to ask him a question. I just got to get it over with because I got to find out if I'm on the right track. I mean, people look at me. I got a great life. People admire me. I got position. I got wealth. I got influence. But man, this man over here with the flowing hair and the robes and all that kind of stuff, his little posse, that guy makes me nervous. If you're happy in church today, tell your face. Just smile. Come on now. Maybe Jesus does the same thing for you. You're sitting in church, but you keep a deep distance from him because you might be really comfortable where you're at. And you're afraid that Jesus might ask something from you that will give you less life. That's not his promise. He said, I've come to give you life from that to the full. But Jesus, whatever Jesus would ask from you, whatever sacrifice, whatever obedience, whatever cost he would demand from you, it's tied to incredible grace. And actually, I'm counting on that in the next season of my life. Okay, I have a really great life over here, and everybody is happy at me, and now I'm moving my children, and they're less happy. Jesus? ? Jesus sets us all up for collisions, and it's my story as well as yours. And from the outside with this guy altogether, he has this anxiety. So he comes up to him and he says, good teacher, what do I have to do to get to heaven? And Jesus' response, again, is that question with a question. Why do you call me good? Now, why would Jesus ask this question? Easy. Because every Jewish believer considered that there was no one good. You didn't use the word. He knows that he's actually seeing Jesus as a possible Messiah, Son of God figure. He's never seen anyone like him, and he uses the term good. Huh. That's interesting, Jesus thinks immediately. Now, understand this. Jesus read this man's mail before he ever opened his mouth. Like, he knows every thought, every foundation. He knows what he's projecting. He knows what you're projecting. He knows your fear, your anxiety. Every moment you get in the presence of God, what it does to you. And he understands why, and he still loves you. Because he's Jesus. So this man says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, why do you call me good? That's a weird question for a Jew to ask. And he didn't go on with the conversation. He just begins to wrestle what's going on in the ruler's head. He sees this polite man in front of him, working hard to convince himself that it's going to be okay. He sees the battle raging and the anxiety carrying him. He sees the moments where he's like, I'm confronted. And he actually thinks, standing in front of me is somebody I've never seen before who acts and speaks like somebody I've never carried myself. I'm attracted to him, but he makes me nervous because there's a quality on his life that is obviously and profoundly missing in my life. And so I am questioning if I'm actually living what I'm supposed to be living, or if I've made living for God a performance that is actually a set of rules and a way of projecting an image, or if it's actually tied to a real functional obedience in my life. And this man makes me nervous. By the way, if you're sitting here today and you're trying to convince yourself that you're a pretty good person, I want you to know this, you're already negotiating.
Well, I'm pretty nice. You know, I make a good Canadian. I once paid for somebody's coffee at Tim Hortons. I'm pretty much fantastic. I say sorry all the time. You know, it's what we do. Even when it's my fault. Or not my fault, I mean. I'm not killing anyone.
Negotiation happens in my mind all the time, so let me just be honest. I've come to terms with the fact that I live in this perpetual state of imperfection, and I actually need the mercy of Jesus every day. That's why it's good to know that his mercy is new every morning. I just need to take advantage of it. Amen? So I'm okay with that part. But the good news is, if you're not okay with being imperfect, you will actually project religion with your life instead of faith with your walk. Jesus follows his question with a statement. So questions asked, question respond to. Here's the deal. He says, you know the commandments. And he starts to list them. And I'm trying to imagine the reaction of this guy. Now he's anxious.
Am I on the right track? Am I going to get there? Am I going to, you know, collect $200, go straight to heaven and not go to jail?
Has anybody played Monopoly? Anyway, here's the deal. He's like, so he starts to list them, and he says, you know, don't kill people. And I'm just like thinking, I'm thinking about his face, John. I'm thinking, he's probably starting to relax. Yeah, good. This is fantastic. One for one. Don't steal. No, I don't take stuff. Why do I need to take stuff? I got lots of stuff. Anyway, I'm good. Number three, don't lie. Yeah. Honest as the day is long. Number four, be nice to your mommy. Good, I love my mommy. And at some point, I feel like he's just starting to relax. He's like, the list is like, okay, check. And then Jesus says this sentence. But before I get to the sentence, I just want you to know this. He actually left out the first two commandments. The first one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Wow. Jesus intentionally leaves out the first commandment. You know he's being intentional, right? Because the first two are tied to relationship. The rest are tied to performance. And we as human beings, instinctively, we point to our performance. Look at me, God, I didn't kill anybody today. Woo, go team. Look at me, God, I gave in the second offering. Woo, life change. Now you should give to the cookies. I'm not saying don't give to the cookies. But he leaves out the first commandment because this man's issue is not that he's not a good guy. He's actually a really good guy. Like I said, I think he'd make a great board member. But did you notice it's really easy to be polite when you think you have everything you need? He's super polite as a person. And it's easy to play the part of the religious person and perform for people when there really isn't a whole lot of stress in our life, except when the guy who can read your mail walks into the room. And he does. This man happily pointed to his performance because he's been decent. But then Jesus comes with an offer. He comes with a statement and an offer. And the offer is amazing. He says, you still lack one thing. And when he says the word lack, the anxiety in this young man must have leapt to the forefront, right? There was a reason I asked you a question. We were going along really good there as you made that list. And then you said that lack word, and now we're right back where we started. Good guy makes me nervous. You ever around somebody who's so in love with Jesus, they make you question if you really love Jesus? Don't put up your hands. It's fine. I've been there. The anxiety in his life proves that he's actually negotiating. He's actually living his life in a standard of religious behavior, but he actually doesn't have a functional lordship with his God. His Lord is something else. It's something different. He had chosen his deep love for his position, his comfort, and his power, and he was holding on to what was in his hands, and he was anxious that this good man would make him let go of it. And what is the one thing that God asked from him? The one thing he refused to let go of. But he didn't just finish with one lack. He didn't just finish with this lack thing and this command to give everything. He says, then come and follow me. Come and follow me. Ready? We don't know his name. If he takes the offer, we know who he is. Jesus is inviting him into his inner circle. He's looking at this man who already cares about being a person of substance and character, his kindness. He says, if I could just get you to let me be the Lord of the rest of your life, I can bring you into my posse and you'll be a world changer. They will write stories about you. You'll be in the book of Acts. You will see miracles. Who knows where your life will end up. And one day it may cost you your existence. You may be martyred for the faith, but they will never forget you. You will not be this nameless, faceless, voiceless in the crowd. You won't be this guy who had some stuff but missed out on what God would give you. He says to me, I am offering you this. Come and follow me. Let go of what's in your hands. And take the adventure. You want to feel alive? You want to have life to the full? Just try a little bit of obedience. Jesus offers him himself. The man refuses the offer. Why does he refuse the offer? Because he already has a king. I wonder what Jesus wants to put in our hands. Now, let me just be real. Because of my addiction to imperfection, which you all share, I negotiate with Jesus all the time. I was negotiating in the car as I drove to church this morning. We need to sell a house because BC apparently means bring cash. And bring extra organs that you can sell on the black market for extra cash. Wow. So I'm like, Jesus, you said to do this. You got to sell my house. Show me your goodness. And I'm like getting all scriptural too. Like I'm like, I'm throwing down the argument. I'm making it all spiritual. You said if I speak to the mountain, there's a mountain right in front of me. You said if I speak, it would move. And I moved the mountain, my house. I moved that sucker now. In the name of Jesus. And part of the desperation is promoted by fear. Because I'm afraid I'm giving up something that I won't be able to replace. And at the same time, I know I can't really stand up and preach this message if I'm not willing to let go of what's in my hand. And neither can you. And I know I can't really get to where God wants me to go unless I leave where God has me. And I wish it wasn't so good where I was. I wouldn't cry as much about where I'm going. This man refuses the offer because he already has made his choice to be a slave. And everybody chooses slavery, people. You just have to choose who's going to be your king. It's either going to be Christ or it's going to be your flesh. It's really simple. We all choose our own form of slavery. And we just need to be honest. This young man's influence would be determined by who his king was. The destination of his life would be determined by who his king was. It's the same thing for me. It's the same thing for you. If I cannot say yes to my king, he cannot trust me with his provision and his legacy. I can't receive what I refuse to grab a hold of. And so this man's predetermining his calling. But you have been called by God. You have been called by Jesus. If you cried out to him, he has saved you. And we are grateful. But it's not just for eternity. It's not just for the kingdom. This man wanted reward in this life. He wanted the comfort of this life. And he wanted salvation in the next. And it's probably that he passed up both. Because he settled for a cheap reward in this life. And he probably sacrificed salvation in the next. Because he had Jesus in front of him and he said no to him. Whew, that's intense. He walks away sad. You know why he walks away sad? Because he said, this man is good. I know who I'm talking to. And he has made me the offer of a lifetime. And I have said no. This man is intelligent. This man understands authority and position. He understands that he's walking away from a walk with the man who has the most authority and position in the universe. He has said no. He has said no. He walks away sad because he cannot say no to what's in his hand to take a hold of what God would place there. And sometimes I wonder, you know, why there are sad people in church every week. Could it be you're perpetually refusing the offer of what the Holy Spirit is asking from your life? Did you know that when you gave your life to Jesus, how many knew this? That the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead came to dwell inside of you? Raise your hand if you know this. Did you know you can treat the Holy Spirit like a puppet king that you control? It's called a figurehead. I decorate my life with the Holy Spirit when I come to church. I clap on time. I sing out loud. I posture myself in the religious positions that people will think I got it all together. But I do the rest of my life in my own lordship. That's called a puppet king. But he gave you the best resource he could ever give you in the person of the Spirit. He gave you the best resource he could ever give you. He gave you himself. And the Bible says this, when he's about to die, he says to his followers, he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. That phrase is in a passage in John chapter 14. He's talking about the giving of the Spirit. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments that he just listed off. He's talking about this. I've invested you with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead so you can know me. You can hear me, and I can lead you as counselor, guide, comforter, and king. And every day, Holy Spirit will want to talk to you so that he can lead you to the inheritance he has for your life. Instead of you holding on to what you so passionately think is living in a Canadian context. God is blessing you for a reason. So that you would be a blessing with your obedience. Not so that you live in safety and comfort like the polite people in your society. so that you would actually tune into the Holy Spirit and allow him to take what's out of your hand and use it to the blessing of heaven. Stop celebrating your performance. Start looking to obey. Because when you obey, ready? This is the good part. You feel alive. I have come to give you life, and that to the full. Well, Pastor Mark, I don't really know how to hear the Holy Spirit. Then practice. Here's a tip. Ready? I'm being serious. Ask him a question. What would you have me to give today? Do you think he will not press something into your spirit? What would you have me to say to someone today? Do you not think he would inspire you to prophetically encourage somebody? Who would you have me to pray for today? If you prayed that question, do you not think you'd have your eyes open and attentive to the people in your life, your family, your friends, your coworkers, your schoolmates, whatever? If we started asking Holy Spirit's practical questions, do you not think he would begin to speak to us in practical ways? Of course he does. Some of you already know this. This is where you live, and it's fun. Because it's obedience. And that's what it was always supposed to be. The man's walking away. And all of Jesus' disciples are watching this. This guy is super sad. And Jesus says this crazy statement. How hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's like that whole camel through an eye of a needle thing. That's crazy. Which makes everybody else who's hearing it incredibly nervous as well. So at first it was one guy nervous. Now the whole crowd is nervous. Oh man! I can't even get my baby finger through a needle hole! What are you talking about, Jesus? Or what you talking about, Willis? Anyway, Peter blurts out, but God, we left everything to follow you. And he says to them, he says, no one who has left home or moms or dads or brothers and sisters or anything for my sake will fail to be rewarded in this life and in the next. And another time he was talking to the apostles, he actually says, you cannot sacrifice in a way that will not be exponentially rewarded. See, your obedience, not your religion, your obedience brings you exponential reward. So the moment you tune into God, sacrifice, give, serve, and love, because the Spirit of God's prompting your life, he rewards you 30, 60, or 100 times in this life and the next to come even more. It is not tied to being a nice person. It is tied to relationship with him. I will invest in you the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and I will speak and I will lead. If you build communion with me, you'll have offer after offer. I will send you to the broken and the bleeding and the lonely. I will send you to the poor and the lost. I will send you to your disenfranchised kids and your grandkids who don't know me. And you will say things that you never thought you had the strength to say. And you will give with grace in a way you never thought. You will give abundantly more than you ask or imagine. You will love the unlovable. You'll forgive the unforgivable because you'll be me and I'll be speaking and moving in your life. And they will remember your name. Campbell River has some really lovely people. And Campbell River needs revival. And it starts with you. You know, we fight in church so much about our preferences. Man, we are going to be so embarrassed. Jesus never fought for a preference. He always fought for a principle. We make our preferences into principles in our own head. We hang on tight to our little comforts. We fight in our churches. And we get distracted by the enemy. He says, let go of what's good for you. and take a hold of me. You'll stop caring about your rights or your preferences, and you'll start seeing the lost is lost, the broken is broken, the wounded is dying, and the lonely is hurting, and you will be light in dark places, and they will remember your name. Don't just be one in the crowd, people. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that to the full. Jonathan, can you come? I just want to meditate on what this rich man walks away from. Like I said, I think he'd be a fantastic board member. But shouldn't they write stories about us? I try to project forward. I mean, would he have been with James and John, or Peter and John when they were walking in the temple and they just said, hey, you, I got no cash, but you know what? How about you just walk? Oh, that's a cool moment. Would he have been with Philip and did like the whole Star Trek thing and beamed it from one place to the other? That's pretty cool. Maybe he would have been the first one martyred instead of James. Or maybe there's a whole area that they would have wrote upon because he would have went somewhere else. When Thomas was going to India, maybe he was going to Turkmenistan or something like that. Not that I actually think that existed back then, but hey, there was people there. Oh God, that we would live in a way we would hold loosely to what you put in our hands and allow you, oh God, to call us to obedient sacrifice and service. God, I pray that you would give us relationship with your Spirit, that we would understand his voice and his calling and his clarity. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for the life and the love in this house. And I thank you, oh God, that your mercies are new every morning. God, in your mercy, you are here this morning. In your mercy, you are present in this place. In your mercy, you are filling this house. And in your mercy, you are calling people by name. In your mercy, you never give up on us. You never grow weary of chasing after us. In your mercy, oh God, we find new life and purpose every day. You've come to rescue the perishing and accelerate the faithful. And I pray, oh God, that you would do both today. I thank you, God, that you are with us. And I pray for courage right now in the house. I pray for courage for every person here today. And God, we be honest. And we be hungry for all that you have for us. Father, just right now, just release the spirit of hunger and possibility in the house. That every heart will be consumed with the possibility, God, that you calling them to incredible purpose. Come on, God, let your presence just fill the house in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. With every head down, every eye closed, I just want to take a moment. Maybe you're here today and you're far from God. For two reasons. One, he's not your Savior. Or two, you just have been your own king. You've been walking in religion instead of relationship. Or you've just been living for your own benefit. If you're here today, say, Pastor Mark, I need to get right with Jesus. I'm just so far from God. But I hunger for his life, and I hunger for fullness of life, and I hunger for purpose, and I want to stop the treadmill of insanity in my life, and I want to stop being self-absorbed, and I want to live for him. If you're here tonight, or this morning, you say, Pastor Mark, pray for me because I need to get close to Jesus. I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. 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 Hold it up. And as you do, thank you. Just pray a consuming fire. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. Church, you love him. Let's help these people just get to a place where they know they're in love with Jesus. I want everybody to pray after me. I'm so thankful for God speaking this morning. Everybody repeat with me. If you have your hand raised, just pray this words with concentration and sincerity. Say, dear Father, I thank you for your mercy. The biggest act of mercy is when you sent your son Christ to die for my sins. It is that mercy I appeal to this morning. Please cleanse my life, my mind, my heart, the depths of my soul from every mistake, every error, every word, every motive that has dishonored you, others, or myself. In this moment, in the name of Jesus, I plead for forgiveness and I surrender my life because you are Lord and King. And I'm not. So come into my heart. Take up residence in my life. Speak deeply to me. I will walk with you today and tomorrow and with my life. I give it to you now, my Savior and King, Christ Jesus, my Lord. And everybody celebrate it. Come on.